Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, JoJo, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Coming up, we will get into the latest in the Juan Soto sweepstakes. Are the Phillies in the first wave of teams? And Jason Kelce on with the morning show today. What he said about the tush push and what might have happened Sunday. Joining us right now, as she does every Thursday, Rhea Hughes.
Good morning, fraud Italian.
I know, I'm out. I'm out of the club.
Gabbadil.
I didn't know what it was.
I know, I've never heard them called Gabbadilis.
That's what got me.
I think that's kind of an old school thing. I make them once a week at home. I'm a big fan favorite in the Hughes house.
When I reheard it and then I looked it up, I was like, I know what that is.
I wasn't going to say nothing, but yeah.
I'm a fraud, yeah.
They were coming at your neck, though.
I'm out of the club. I guess it happens. You know, you got to live with it. All right, Rhea, there's a lot going on here. Eagles have won four in a row, yet nobody is happy with the head coach. It's funny. We came here Monday, and before the show, we were trying to figure out, what do you think the temperature is going to be? And I'm like, people are going to be annoyed, even though they won, because they left all those points out there. Rhea, where are you right now with Sirianni? Because they have won four in a row. They've rallied since the weirdness around the bye. But Sunday was a tough day in terms of his decision-making, because none of them seemed to work.
Well, and what's crazy about it is two of the wins in the four-game win streak, the only talking point after the game and the days follow, and nationally, is Nick Sirianni.
Yep.
So the Saquon thing didn't get nearly enough. That's still, I've watched it probably 100 times.
It's amazing.
I mean, and what I'm really now enjoying are the sideline, the bench views. You know, nobody talks, they talk about Reed Blankenship, but Jordan Davis has a pretty funny look in his face, and Dallas Goedert. But here's my take on it. And I hated it. I didn't hate the first one, you know, where you got the penalty, so you take the point. To me, it was I had gotten six concussions during the game. It was the cumulative effect as I kept going. All right, that's 3 points. That two, that's five.
When you start doing, you start mathing.
I don't like to do math. When I began to do the math, I went, "This is not good." But I also think about, you know, they are so proud of their analytics staff. I mean, we've not heard a peep out of the NovaCare complex that anybody's upset with him down there.
We haven't.
So, you know, it leads me to believe that this is, you know, this staff, this is what we do. Ross Tucker was great on your show this week. I actually texted him after and I said, he had articulated the best. Like, I hated it. A lot of us hate it. And he goes, guys have their book. Coaches have their book. This is what we're going to run in this situation. Situations change. Like, A.J. Brown's not in the game anymore.
My Lotta's not in for the tush push.
My Lotta. Dallas Goedert. Dallas Goddard's a big part of the tush push.
Of course.
It could rain, you know. You're playing the Jags. This isn't, you know, and I keep hearing, well, you know, Doug got aggressive in the Super Bowl. They also, the Patriots had 500 yards.
It was
offense.
Tom Brady on the side, not Trevor
you
Lawrence.
Had to. Yeah. You had to get as many points as you could. You didn't need to do that against the Jags. So I think if they're having any kind of discussion, hopefully with their analytics department is, okay, situationally, what do we do here?
Yeah, this week when he addressed it, Sirianni mentioned that he put a lot of work in during the week, and I'm sure he does. They probably have the meetings.
I don't doubt his work. You don't get to where you are at that young of an age without working hard.
It reminded me of when, let's go to baseball. Topper says, well, we liked it for that pocket of the lineup. It feels too pre-planned.
It does.
We can't just pre-plan every fourth down's the same thing. Hugh, it's got to be, Sunday, you kept mentioning that one to go up 17-0 versus 16-0.
Yes, that to me blew my mind.
What's the difference?
Well, to me, it's a three-score game because I had to do the math.
That's what I'm saying. What's the difference?
Risk versus reward,
yeah,
right?
That was my question.
I looked at it like this, Rhea, because I have to tell you the conversation. Trot is looking at the scoreboard. He said, just like, dog, they got 32 total yards in offense.
And you're talking about the Jags.
Yeah, and then Brian Westbrook says, the Jags are trash.
They are.
So now, this conversation is happening. And then they're going for two, and I'm like,
why?
Why are they going for two? Like, I'm trying to rationalize it in my head. And then Brian Dawkins chimes in. And he said, hey, man, have you ever seen their analytics department? He said they have a stack of papers with analytics that's really thick.
Yeah.
And he's trying to explain to me, this might be something involved with analytics.
That's what I'm telling you. They're in – the organization is in lockstep with what they decided to do on Sunday.
And I was thinking to myself, okay – I understand. There's parts of analytics that I do not understand, and I don't even try to understand. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm like, well, hell, they're not moving the ball.
Exactly. And when you gave them the ball on that last missed field goal, you gave them a short field.
You gave them life,
To literally have an epic collapse.
And then it's not only that, Rhea. It's at that point, because if you scored 17, that's three scores. You got to get three scores in order to be in position to win. Yeah. I was trying to tell people going into the locker room, and I think Seth mentioned this, you're going into the locker room as a player. You're down three scores.
It's a difference.
You're not moving the ball. You're down three scores. Your mentality is different.
The game's over.
Mentally, you're kind of checking out. But if you go into the half and you've taken points off the board and it's a two-score game, we got a chance. Yeah. Same thing Atlanta did.
Oh, yeah.
You let Atlanta hang around.
Well,
I still,
you know how I hated that pass to Saquon.
Yeah. Yes.
And can I just say, like, next year for the Eagles autism, here's an idea which will make a lot of people money. You were watching, it was you, Westbrook. Who else was
it? It was Brian Dawkins, Trot. It was, yeah.
The greatest lesson I ever learned, I was wandered, it's when I used to sit in the press box. It was Kevin Cobb's first start ever. I wandered back and there was, I believe it was Hugh. Trey wasn't still playing then, was he? Was play still Trey?
I don't know.
Might
I don't recall.
Have been. He
was
might
it
have been.
07,
but
it was, 08?
But it was you, I think it was Ike, G. Cobb, and there were two other former players. And people were just going, what do you think of Kevin Cobb? It's Kevin Cobb here. And it was either you or Ike said, wait till it takes his first big boy hit.
Yeah.
And 20 minutes later, his career was effectively done. You learn so much sitting with these guys because they look at it differently.
Everybody,
that's a good idea. Watch the game with Eagles Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
But everybody watches the game differently. Yeah. And that's why I like to sit back there. Me and I can sit back there and watch the game because his perspective is totally different than mine.
Are you watching it from a defensive point going, we have not allowed them to do anything, and here's he taking points off of the offense.
Well, not only that, it was more so the moment and the momentum. Because at that point, like I said, the fact that they only had 32 yards, that was not information that I had.
First down.
Yes. That was not information that I had. So when I got that information, I'm like, well, hell, we're going into the half. We're up 16 points. So it only makes sense to me. To take the extra point and move and take the points and let them keep shooting themselves in the foot.
It just feels like we're barreling Rhea towards a big game, whether it be late December or in the playoffs, where it's coming down to a decision he makes.
Oh, 100%.
And people are
But what I'm saying to you is I don't know if it's his decision only.
So you think it's just Eagles?
That's kind of where I'm at with it, too.
I do wonder, is it a recommendation and then he either goes with it or doesn't?
Yeah, I think they go over situations and that's what this organization does.
So maybe this is on them as much as him.
Listen, they brought him back. They had to know that's keeping him out there. He was taking all the bullets for them.
Well, that's happened.
There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt in my mind.
Yeah. All right,
but he's not a complete idiot. Like, I hated what he did on Sunday.
Yeah.
But the team is 6-2.
And every time you guys have a player on, whether it's BG or Jason, who's not there, but still kind of is, they all say the same thing. They like him.
Yeah.
I mean, that does mean something. All right, 215-592-9494. Quickly, before we go back to the phones, what did you make of the inactivity at the trade line? It was deadline. It was very un-Howie-like.
I was not surprised by it at all. And I was only not surprised by it because I also think Vic Fangio has a lot of power. Just like I think Jim Schwartz had a lot of power when he was here. Fangio, what was it, a week, 10 days ago? It seemed to me, number one, he didn't want to spend any time incorporating somebody into it because we're 10 weeks in now, and that defense is playing well. Now,
it is.
The best quarterback they played, well, two, they played Jordan Love, and they, if they don't shut the Packers down in the first quarter of that game gets away.
Totally.
So they played great. Then they had some, then Cooper DeJean comes in.
Cool.
Whatever they've done with Zach Bond has been tremendous.
I mean, he's a Pro Bowler.
So I think in their mind, because
that's crazy when you say it like that.
Yeah.
It's true, but it's just like, I didn't. You know how when you hear it, and you're like, oh, damn, well, he is.
Yeah, the season ended today. He'd
get
be in the
Pro
Bowl.
Extension.
Yes.
Because I don't think that we, I heard you guys talk about running back. Sure, would an extra running back be nice? I don't think the needs were there on offense. Like somebody said something about a third receiver. I go, they don't use a third receiver anyway.
Yeah, they don't.
I mean, they just don't. And so to me, they did need help on defense. I don't think Vic Fangio wanted to incorporate it in. So my expectations were low.
But it is different from Howie's perspective, right? Yeah. Every year they're in it, since he took power back over, they do something. And it doesn't always work, right? No. Sometimes it's Shenard Avery, Robert Quinn.
Well, but Vic might have said to him, your moves are
maybe
pretty much
he did.
Stuck.
Maybe he did. Like, you're going to get me one of those guys?
No.
No, don't bother. All right.
I liked you reaching for Micah Parsons, though.
He was reaching.
He's my
ranching.
White whale. I try to get him every year.
He wants to be an Eagle
I know
so
he
bad.
Does. He talks about them. He does want to be an Eagle.
There's no doubt.
If he ever hits free agency, it could happen.
Micah Parsons, though, man. Like I said, he disappears in the playoffs.
Well, he definitely disappears. Four games.
Well,
four
he's
games.
A cowboy. They always disappear.
Yeah, he's just playing the role.
I guess that is something, yeah. I guess there is something to that.
Well, he might play Sunday. I still think the Eagles should win the game, but he looks like he's coming back.
He's coming back from a high ankle, right?
Yeah. So we'll see how good
high
he is.
High ankle sprain, ooh.
They're no joke, right?
Yeah, and they usually, I've had one of those. They linger.
Yeah.
They have a tendency to linger.
I think it was about a month ago he went down.
Yeah,
so.
I think he's
probably playing.
Yeah.
It's going to be, for him, it's going to be a pain tolerance thing, mm-hmm. more than likely.
All right, let's go to the phone lines here. TR in Winfield. Hey, TR.
Moment's too big for him. He missed it. He missed the moment.
TR's
busy.
Bingo or something.
Bingo this early in the day?
Listen,
that's usually a night thing.
B-55.
TR. All right, put him on hold.
Sound like they breakdancing or something.
Something weird was
or
going on.
Or jumping rope. That sound like he's somewhere jumping rope.
It could have been. Let's go to Dom in Philly. What's up, Dom?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, Dom. What's up?
I just wanted to say you're crazy, and they're not winning in spite of Nick Sirianni. If anything, I can make an argument more so they're winning in spite of Jalen Hurts.
He said you're crazy like that was, like, you know, like we don't profess that like every
day. Everyone thinks I'm crazy.
Like, what are you talking about?
Wait, all right, so hold on a second. You think they're winning more because of Sirianni than Hurts? I mean, Hurts on Sunday was really good.
I'm saying you can make an argument that they're winning in spite of Jalen Hurts more than they are Sirianni. Now, hear me out. All right, say you replace Hurts with Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. Are the Eagles considerably better? Do you agree with that? Would they be better?
They'd be better. Yeah, if you replace them with a top five quarterback, sure.
I mean, that's kind of a duh.
Okay. All right. Now replace the head coach with their head coach. Does it make them considerably better?
Well, can I have Andy Reid?
No.
Hold on, but you're saying the top five quarterback. So give
me. No, he only wants you to work within his hypothetical.
No. But Dom, if we're replacing Sirianni with Andy Reid, the Eagles are better.
Yeah, I would say yes.
Even me, an avowed Andy Reid hater, would agree with that.
Or Shanahan. Like, why don't we pick your favorite coach? McVay. There's I don't know. There's like six great ones.
If you replace Dallas Goedert with Travis Kelce,
they're better.
You know, Myles Garrett,
instead of Nolan Smith,
and
they're better.
And here's the point do I think Jalen's top five? No, but I think he's outside. He's played well. Listen, the best thing we complained about was the turnovers. He is not turning the ball over.
And
his deep ball is tremendous. His legs are better. Hugh, why does he struggle with the short?
I do not know.
Is it because he's short and can't see over the line?
I think that's part of it.
That's something that has been talked about the last couple of times that he's been out there. I don't know. And you know what's funny? What else is funny? The Greg Cosell comments.
Yeah.
He needs to see it before he throws it.
He sounded like a hater to a lot of people a few weeks ago. Yeah. He don't sound like a hater now.
Now, I will tell you, because I follow them. I watch Greg every week, break down the tape. And Greg's funny. He's like, I'm not a hater one way or the other. I just look at the tape.
He's very, down the middle. Yeah. Like, this is what I see. That's what I'm going to tell you.
But when he sees it's well, he'll say it.
Yeah, and it seems like Jalen throws the for sure throw. He doesn't throw the anticipation throw.
He had the anticipation throw to, was it Brown in this game or was it the previous game?
The one across the middle? I think it was Cincinnati, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Brown wasn't there when he threw
And he throws a great deep ball.
He really does. So that's why I got to figure that there's got to be something.
It's something there with comfort. It's being comfortable. Making those throws and being comfortable with the guys that you're throwing the ball to.
Well, right. We can't keep moving the goalposts.
No.
Please don't turn the ball over. When was the last time you had a turnover? 5 games ago?
I think it was the Bucks.
Just say you don't like Jalen Hurts, man, and we can keep it moving. No. That's it.
I don't like him.
Okay, that's fine. I appreciate your honesty.
You got to the bottom of it.
Yeah, just say you don't like him.
Can I say something about the Phillies?
What do you got?
I hope they don't get Juan Soto, because then, as you would say, they would be a legit tournament.
A legit threat.
Oh, Dom's a Mets fan.
I
was wondering that. Like, who would want one? All right, Dom, give us a bad combination. What do you got?
Alcohol and politics.
Oh. That's a good answer.
Oh, dog, I didn't even think about that.
Ooh, are a lot of people doing that on Tuesday?
Yes, they were. No. Maybe one to get through the other one? Yeah, that was probably it. To your point, Rhea, on Jalen, he had, if I said to you 4 weeks ago that his numbers would start to trend towards top 10, you would say, I don't know, because it was so bad to start.
It was.
But he is. I mean, you look at some of the completion percentage numbers. I think he's seventh in the NFL. You look at his passer rating. He's now up to eighth. Like, he's trending back towards being a good quarterback.
You have to give him credit. Yes. And I was one of the huge critics. But he's not turning the ball over. And he's, what has he got, like, Did he have like four throws past 40 yards the other day?
Yeah, there's a lot of explosive plays.
There was a lot of explosive plays.
How do you parse that he's playing better, but they're obviously trying to limit how often he throws? Do you think it's a referendum on him, or they just think this is... Because it is interesting. Lane talked about it, Mailata.
Yeah. Running, offensive line, they want to run.
They always want to run.
You haven't met one yet who does it.
But it does feel like they've gotten better when they've asked him to throw it less. He's throwing it better in those fewer attempts.
Joe, and I'm not sure if I should put up a sign, but his name is Saquon Barkley.
He's pretty good.
He's been insane. Like, I think that was more of the take with Lane Johnson and probably the offensive line. We have this incredible weapon, we need to use it more.
All right. I think you're right. Hugh, I think she's right on that. But it does, when you have a quarterback you paid this much and you don't throw the ball a lot, it does bring up the why. But maybe it is just Saquon.
Well, it's that, but we've also had a lot of conversation on this station about how are we going to keep him healthy.
Well, that's the other side of the argument.
So now the conversation has to shift to maybe we need to let him throw it just a little bit more.
Are you concerned about Saquon's touches? He's on pace for 377.
Yeah.
If we play out, let's just say they win a playoff game or two.
Sure.
We're talking about 430 for the season. It feels like a lot.
Again, this was the problem with Sunday. You get that you keep those 9 points. Saquon is not running the ball.
He's out of the game.
He's out of the game. So, yeah, you don't want to have a DeMarco Murray situation here. You just don't want to run him into the ground.
And
I'd love to see a little bit more Will Shipley.
Thank you.
Somebody here don't like Will Shipley, though.
People with eyes can see that Will Shipley has burst.
I'm not saying, give him the ball 20 times a game.
That's it. Yeah, told the rock all like that. But let him work him in. Work him in there. Yeah. Work him in there.
Yeah, yeah. I think they have to find a happy medium. It's still going to be Saquon's offense. But
Saquon is a shiny toy, and it's hard not to use him.
Yeah, it is.
after what he did the other day.
But we're hoping for 20, 21 games this year.
I understand that. But yeah, I think they got to manage that a little better.
Let's go to Donald in Chester. What's up, Donald?
Good morning. Good morning.
What's Donald? Up, man?
Oh, I'm chilling. I'm chilling. Before Rhea started talking, I was kind of thinking the same thing, trying to figure out who was behind all that. And honestly, to this day, I still think that Mr. Sirianni is a puppet. I just do. I just still think, and she kind of gave me another perception, because my thing was, well, after how miserable it was last season, there had to be another reason why they would bring him back, and that's what it was, because he's still, like I told you the other day, Joe, that he's still the scapegoat.
Well, he is cover for them. I mean, when things go wrong, we talk about him more than anybody else.
And see, I'm going to add this. Because, see, I agree with you about winning despite of him. I believe I give a lot of credit to Howie, because I'm very hard on Howie. But this is a very good team they put together, because you have a lot of big-time players. You got a lot of big-time players. Like I told you, you have a lot of big-time players come from big-time schools, and then you just have a lot of mature veterans. Because, see, here's the thing about that, about rallying around him. You have to be self-motivated in order to rally around somebody else. So this team itself, these guys, the only thing that these guys had to do was learn a new Kellen Moore offense and learn a new Vic Fangio defense, and that's what you're seeing.
Yeah, so, it has come together. Yeah, it's come together, especially the defense. They've played really good football.
Because I was laughing. I was laughing because I'm still trying to figure out. I said, okay, maybe there's only two coaches I know that couldn't play call their own offense. So, and I couldn't, I was still laughing about that.
Well, it's rare. Most offensive guys call their own plays these days. All right, Donald, give us a bad combo to get in the mix of the prize.
I'm going to make this short.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to make this short.
You're going to make this short.
wait a minute. Yes, I have to. Listen. When I was a child, my grandmother sent me to the store to get her an Italian hoagie.
No.
Did you get an Italian hoagie? So when we got there now, they know her. So I said, put some ketchup on it. I said, put some ketchup. He said, you sure she want ketchup?
Ketchup on an Italian hoagie?
Yeah, that's what she wanted.
That sounds awful.
When I got back, I had to go back to the store. and give it another whole.
All right, time to make the show. I got to get to work.
All right, Rhea, we appreciate you hopping on. I was trying to say goodbye to Rhea for a minute and a half.
Hey.
I mean, that is a bad combo. Ketchup on an Italian
hoagie?
That's
disgusting.
That's, I mean,
that's a bad combo.
That's a good answer.
I got another good combo is long stories on the radio.
What were we talking about? I forgot.
Come on, that was a fireside chat with Donald and Chester. All right, Rhea, we appreciate it.
We're big fans, Donald. Hey, having Donald, some fun.
Love, yeah. We love it. Thank you, Rhea. We'll talk to you next week. All right, 215-592-9494 is how you hop board. Quickly, let's grab Tom and Langhorne. He thinks I'm absurd. Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Joe, do you have as much anxiety on a daily basis?
I'm pretty calm most of the time, Tom. I don't really have much anxiety. Nick Sirianni gives it to me. I need to have Tom's or something.
I was really concerned about you.
Oh, I'm good, Tom. I'm good. Except for the Eagles coach. He's got me in a ball of emotions here.
All right. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that you're okay. So now I'll get to my point. Mm-hmm. You're okay. Your topics for discussion come across as lazy.
What?
I mean, this is the best discussion you can come up with today.
Tom.
Oh, so he's attacking the discussion.
Yeah, so it's not about the coach. Yeah. It's about the discussion. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this is obscene.
Uh-oh.
You're talking about taking the play-calling ability away from the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who do you think invented the tush push?
Who do I think invented the tush push?
Yeah, and were you there Monday morning?
Hold on a second. You come in here and tell me I'm absurd. Tom, you're acting like it's the West Coast offense, like this is Bill Walsh. It is a one-yard play. It's a one-yard quarterback sneak. I have to bow to the altar of the guy that invented the tush push?
But look how much it's done for them.
I think it was Stoutland, by the way.
How much it's done for them?
They've
converted third and fourth and ones.
In one game. But all the other games combined and all the other first downs they've gotten.
You think the tush push wins them football games, Tom?
Absolutely.
Tom.
It changes the direction of the game and it demoralizes.
No. What changes the direction of the game is a Hall of Fame wide receiver on 70-yard bombs. Offensive. What?
But the tush push absolutely contributes to wins.
Sure, it's a quarterback sneak. My goodness gracious. Tom Brady ran the quarterback sneak for 20 years at a 90% clip.
It's not a quarterback sneak.
But it's the equivalent of one. It's their version of a QB sneak. That's all it is.
And nobody can stop it.
The Jaguars stopped it twice on Sunday.
That dog don't hunt, Tom.
Until recently, I said. And it doesn't mean you throw out that play completely.
I didn't say that. I agree with you. Use it. Who said to throw it out completely, Tom?
You're talking about, like, he's overusing it. The only decision I had with that objection to, there was two. Why did he go for two when they were up 16-0? And I'm never in favor of taking points off the board.
Well, we agree. I mean, this is why I have concern about the head coach.
Yeah, that's
where it ends for me. And I'm not thinking that the Eagles are imploding from within because of those two decisions.
No, I don't think they're imploding either. They're actually ascending. My concern is I don't trust the guy who's going to have to make big decisions in the biggest moments in the biggest games. That's the concern.
That you are saying they're going to implode.
No, implode is a strong word for it, but I think he can cost them. Yes, I obviously.
Well, then you think that he can implode during a big game?
Yes.
And close them the game?
Yes.
And I don't believe that.
Well, then you didn't watch the Super Bowl. You didn't watch Super Bowl 2 years ago when he punted and he went for a field goal. And A.J. Brown said that he knew they'd lose when they kicked the field goal in the third quarter. And in the fourth quarter, he punted back to Patrick Mahomes.
When Jalen doesn't drop the ball in the first half.
Oh, we got it. I got you. I got it. No, it comes out. You don't trust Jalen, so he's the one you got the ire for. Oh, no, Tom, I got it. I got it. Tom,
I trust Jalen.
I need a combo, Tom. Tom, I need a combo. I want you to win the prize, Tom.
Okay. Texting and driving.
That's a very bad combo. Tom, it's a good one. Tom, finish that call strong. Didn't like the beginning, but he finished strong. All right, 215-592-9494. Your bad combos for ComboCon today. Your calls on Sirianni on the Eagles winning in spite of him. I think they are. And your take on D-Gun's idea they should take away game day calls from Sirianni, fourth down on stuff like that. Plus, something from the Eagles practice that has my antenna up from yesterday. We'll hit it next. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94W.